Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Being that I live in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's get ready to dive into these confessions with people I know and people that I've never met. Hi guys, welcome to the 8th episode of the City Confessions. I can't believe I've been doing this for 2 months already, but you know what? I'm really proud of myself for sticking it through. So today I have Chef John. He is the owner of Bread and Spread, which is a sandwich shop located in Dumbo. So welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So actually, you're the first guest that I don't really know. Like, you're basically a stranger, and I just met you maybe like 15 minutes ago. Yeah. So would you like to first tell us about, I guess, like, first of all, can you describe and tell me more about Bread and Spread?
Sure. So Bread and Spread is a sandwich shop. We have two locations in Dumbo, kind of next to each other, sisters. One is Italian roasted meats and melted cheese sandwiches, and one is Vietnamese banh mi and rice bowls.
Yum.
And I started with been in the restaurant business a long time, went to culinary school upstate, CIA, and worked in a lot of restaurants and started a food truck, and that kind of migrated indoors, getting sick of the cold and sick of pushing everything around and constant unloading and loading. So we moved indoors and been there for about 4 years now and going strong, and that's about it.
That's good. Okay, so tell me about, I'm curious to know how you discovered me.
Well, I was at, used to be in a food hall in Brooklyn, and a lot of influencers would come and take pictures with us and write about us and stuff like that. So I started to follow
I don't know about this.
That was in DeKalb Market.
Oh.
So we stayed there for about a year.
Got it.
We didn't have the best experience there, but we left at the end of last year and moved back to Dumbo. So I kind of got into that field of meeting Instagram people and kind of
Did we meet?
No, I don't think we ever met.
Okay, because I don't remember.
No.
I did do something with the call.
Yeah.
But I don't remember.
Yeah, a lot of people did. And we would give food or we would ever. But I just started to follow a lot of people. And people would give me lists like, follow these people, follow those people. And then, so you probably were on one of those lists. Mm-hmm. And I found your page to be interesting. I found the captions to be really honest and to have a lot to say, you know, and cool places. You travel a lot, which I like. I like to travel. I like to learn from people who travel and get information and swap stories and kind of get little cheat sheets. So that's always good. And I just, when I saw you doing the podcast, I thought it was a cool thing. We've wanted to do a podcast at the store with chefs and stuff. And I just kind of wanted to see somebody who's doing it and try it out.
Yeah.
So that's why I appreciate being here.
That's so cool. Because I remember when I was starting, I wanted to see how many people were interested in being on it. And of course, my whole premise is like really trying to target New York natives, because actually that's pretty rare nowadays.
Yeah.
So I kind of have that as like a requirement, I guess. And then my second tier is more like New York residents for X amount of years, because, you know, I mean, not everybody can say they're a New Yorker.
Well, I was born in Brooklyn, lived there most of my life. I mean, a couple of stints outside of the state, but always came back home. And it's hard. It's hard to move somewhere else when you've been in New York or you grew up in New York, because, you know, it's just not the same feel. You know, you go to these places and they're very sterilized. You don't have that history. Mm-hmm. You don't have that diversity. I mean, the things we take for granted in New York, you know, the diversity and the culture, you miss it when you're in different places. And I appreciate that I can get any type of food at any type of hour. and have all these options. So, you know, there's no place like Brooklyn, and it's hard to really get out of there. And I really appreciate the fact that I've able to open a business there and really make it a home, especially in Dumbo. I think Dumbo is an amazing neighborhood. It's developing so quickly. There's so many things happening. And I'm glad to be there, glad to be a part of it. And you're right. I mean, there's not a lot of Brooklyn residents left, or natives, you know, especially. And, you know, people always ask, where are you from? And I'm like, I'm from Brooklyn. They're like, no, but where are you really from? I'm like, about five blocks that way. Right. You know? So that's funny.
That's cool. So, of course, you've grown up here. What is your favorite part about the city? Is it basically just having access to all this delicious food at any time?
I think it's just got a lot of history.
Right.
I really love the history of it. I love the culture of it. And it's such an increasingly hard place to live and have a business. I mean, it really is. But there's, I guess, that badge of honor of making it here is really intriguing to a lot of people. It draws a lot of people here. I think my favorite part of the city is just that feel, that the culture of it, everything, the soul of it, really, you know. I always hate when people try to take the soul out of the city and try to sterilize it in some way. It really bothers me. And I really appreciate the, you know, the dirty side of it, the ugly side of it.
I totally agree. You know? I mean, I travel a lot, and I think when I travel, that's when I appreciate the city more.
Yeah.
Whenever I come back, I'm like,
always happy to come home.
Always. And a lot of people ask me a lot, like, do you ever, you know, envision yourself living somewhere else? And for me, at this point in my life, no. But because I love traveling, I love being able to, like, return to New York and call it home.
Right.
And then kind of settle back in, you know, regroup, and then leave again. Because I always have the travel bug.
So. Yeah, it's great to travel. And I think I learn a lot when I'm abroad or when I'm traveling around. I mean, I was just in, you know, a couple of cities out west in Vegas. I was in New Orleans and just doing research, and you see so many different things. And I think when you come home, it really puts it in perspective how different the country is and how there's so many unique places right here. You know, you don't really even have to go to another country if you want. You can get any kind of experience here. So it's always good to get out of your comfort zone and then come back, right?
Right. So you mentioned that you really like the dirty side of New York City. Well, I want to know, like, what is one thing you wish you could change?
About New York?
Yes.
I mean, I wish it was a little bit cheaper. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough, especially for businesses.
But I think,
businesses.
Like, if it wasn't as expensive than everybody, it would be, like, too easy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it has to kind of have a level of, you know, you have to be able to survive here. And maybe the red tape. You know, because whenever you want to do something, there's a lot of agencies. And, you know, if you want to start a business, there's 70 people you got to talk to just to get this piece of paper.
Has that been a struggle?
It can be. It can be. It's just difficult because there's overlapping agencies. They don't all agree. You know, the building department doesn't talk to the fire department, and the health department doesn't care what each one of them say. So that kind of stuff can be difficult. But it's like that everywhere. I think we just have it a little stricter here. But I don't know if I would change anything. I mean, I think the thing I would change is just that losing that identity. I don't want it to become like a Vancouver or like this kind of ghost town where it's only super rich people or international people, and there's no more, you can't live here. You know, a lot of people that grew up here, they're gone. They have to move to Jersey or Long Island or someplace. And I wish that New Yorkers still had a little bit of New York for themselves. That's what I would change.
It's interesting that you mentioned that because I feel like I'm obviously a New Yorker, like at heart, in my soul, I just like, it's just like who I am. But as I grow older, I do see why people would try to like go to like Jersey or like Long Island, especially if they want to like settle down and have a family.
Right.
I mean, personally, when I was growing up, I never thought about that. I mean, I want a family, of course, but I never was like, I want this big white house or whatever, because I grew up in an apartment and that was all I knew. And for me, that was enough.
Right.
But now that I'm getting older, I'm like, okay, like the lack of space is like not really cutting it, you know? So I see your point, but I also see why true New Yorkers might want to settle somewhere nearby, but not in the city.
Right. It's tough to have a family inside of an apartment and deal with all that, unless you have enough money where you can have a big place and,
Right.
you know, but other than that, it's tough. So it would be nice if you can really raise a family in a normal way in New York and
Yeah.
not have to live in
Well,
the
there's houses in Brooklyn that are pretty affordable.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah,
yeah.
there's houses in Brooklyn, there's Queens. You know, Queens is
Up and coming,
up and coming
apparently.
right now, yeah.
Yeah.
And the Bronx. The
Yeah.
Bronx is still working on it, but they're
I'm
coming along. They're coming along.
never in the Bronx. I'm only there for like the Bronx Zoo.
There's things going on. There's a
Is
whole
there?
South Bronx thing
It's
that is
just
going on.
so
Well,
far.
that's the thing, it's so far, right? But it's worth it. You gotta take a trip up there one day.
I mean, what is there to do? I,
It's not like
yeah,
Brooklyn, though.
no.
We have everything.
Manhattan has everything. Okay, so how would you describe New York in one word?
Ooh.
It's a good one, right?
That's a tough one. I mean, it's bustling. New York is always bustling. There's always something going on. You can always find something to do. You can take in culture, you can take in food, you can take in, I mean, Broadway shows. Like, I went to a lot of shows
I love
past
Broadway
years.
shows.
Yeah, I've been to, you know, almost all of them now.
I am dying to watch Hamilton.
I got to see Hamilton, but
Oh my God, no.
you know where I had to see Hamilton? In Chicago.
That's, yeah, but you have to see Hamilton here
Yeah.
in New York.
Yeah.
So whoever has hookups, hit your girl up. I'm dying to go.
It was great. It was great, though. It
What
really
is your
was.
favorite show so far?
I went to see a show called The Humans.
Okay.
It's not on Broadway anymore. The director also starred in The Glass Menagerie, which was also really good. But I really liked The Humans. It was a really good story about this family coming together on Thanksgiving and having this, you know, talk over the table about who's doing what.
Right.
And it really was really, really good. I think it won a Tony for something. And the director was really good. And he was in The Glass Menagerie, which was also amazing. They did this rain sequence on stage where they made it rain, and you know, they're dancing in the rain, and it was amazing.
I've never heard of either or. I've only seen like the common ones, like Phantom of the Opera and like Wicked and like Chicago. I mean, they're all
I haven't seen
amazing.
any of those.
Those are
I always
so
see like
amazing.
these short run shows, and
No, I need to do that more.
I went
I'm
to one
more.
called Blackbird.
I heard about
That
that.
was amazing.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah, that was really amazing. Jeff Daniels like plays this amazing part, and the girl in it, I forgot her name, but she was really good. Can't remember
Okay,
her
I need
name
to
right now.
step up my Broadway
It was
show game.
amazing. Amazing.
Absolutely love it.
That was also a short run, you know, because a lot of them have like guest celebrities that come and
Right.
do like a couple of months, and I try to catch them when they're doing that to really see like Michael Cera, he's on Broadway right now.
Yeah,
I want to see him.
yeah,
He's a customer of the store. I think he's
yeah.
in
Oh,
Dumbo. Yeah,
really?
he was in Dumbo
Are you
taking like
guys like good
music
friends
lessons.
with
No, but he did teach me a little bit about bananas, which is funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did he teach you?
He says when you hold a banana, you know, it fits your hand just perfectly. He was like, it grips your hand. So it was really funny to hear him talk about bananas.
So funny. So you guys get a lot of celebrities?
Sometimes we get a lot of people because St. Anne's Theater is down there. I saw A Streetcar Named Desire there with Gillian Anderson, which was also it was it's in the rounds, so you really the show was really amazing. The theater would spin, the stage would spin.
Oh, wow.
Great place to see a show, and so we get some people from there. We get some local celebrities, you
Do they
know.
ever announce themselves or they kind of just show up?
No,
Yeah.
nobody knows. They just come in.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that's part of Brooklyn is letting people just be who they are,
I mean, that's how New York is.
you
I
know,
see
not
celebrities
bothering
all the time
them.
and I'm like,
Yeah.
whatever.
Yeah, not bothering them, just letting them be, you know, saying something if you want to say hi or take a picture, and most people will.
But it's also pretty subtle.
Yeah, you just kind of give people their space. And
Yeah.
that's the thing is I want people to come back and feel comfortable. I don't want to make them, you know, put them on the spot and make somebody not want to go there. And I really like this food to kind of speak for itself. And a lot of people come back for the
Got
food.
it.
So that's good.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to shift gears a little bit and I guess transition into the more serious side of this podcast, it's always like a little weird. I'm like, okay, now we're gonna, you know,
we just kick
dive
it.
In.
Yeah. We're from New Orleans, they kick it up, right? Kick it up a notch.
Kick it up notch. Yeah. So basically, I mean, you heard my first episode of my podcast. So
I did.
Thank you. So I guess like the reason why I like to go to more of like the serious side of this podcast and have people talk about like their concerns and insecurities and eventually revealing a confession is because obviously I personally have a lot, and I just feel like I've come to the realization of like accepting what I've gone through and then feeling like, yes, the timing is ready. Like I'm honoring, you know, my experience. And I feel like being able to vocalize it and communicate and just open a dialogue with the world has been such a stress reliever.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten a lot of great response just personally on my own confession. So I would like to obviously go in that route and first ask you kind of like what keeps you up at night. And this is obviously a little weird because I don't know you and I'm kind of just like, hey, what's going on? But again, this is...
Well, that's part of New York is
exactly.
Meeting strangers
exactly.
And sharing these stories. I mean, I always love those taxi cab confessions.
Yes.
Right? They'd be in the back of the cab and telling you this crazy story. And, you know, and that's really what New York is about. Like, you never know who you're talking to. You don't know who they are, what they're working on. And that's part of my confession is that, you know, you don't know when you're talking to somebody what's going on with them, what they're feeling, what kind of a day they're having, what kind of a year they're having.
Exactly.
And if people would really take that into consideration, I think it would be a better experience for both parties and for the city just to like be like, hey, you know, I don't know what this person's going through right now. Why should I? You know, nobody puts themselves in other people's shoes as much mm-hmm. as they should. And it's very me focused and very what I'm doing, you know, and Instagram kind of helps that along with that, you know, the me show. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. You should be yourself and be happy to be you. But you have to remember that everybody wants to be them. Everybody wants to express themselves. And you can't deny somebody else being who they are because you want to shine. And just taking into consideration what's going on with people, you know, and really that human side of it. And forgetting that, you know, we're all busy and we're all running to this job or that show or this thing. And we're all worried, we're all in a wrapped up in our own lives, but there's so much going on that you really have to stop and just, you know, let other people feel, let other people be.
I honestly can't even agree more with that. And I think that's literally why I want to start this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing quote unquote Instagram, or I've been on it for a really long time now. And it got to the point where I was like, what am I giving to the world? Like,
right.
What is my value? Like,
right.
Yes, I enjoy taking pictures and I enjoy working with brands and like, you know, inspire others through my content.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, it is very selfish in a way and it's very like superficial. And I was like, as much as I love this, I need to create something else that's like a mm-hmm. passion project for me to like make myself feel good about myself. When I like go to sleep at night, like I want to be like, wow, like if, and that's the thing about this podcast, I'm not crazy trying to promote it, but like the people that listen to it, like I hope they get something out of it. And if it's
right.
One person who's like, that was amazing, like I love hearing your story or your guest story, that's like, that's just like what I want to do,
right?
So I really appreciate you mentioning that because I feel like you and I can relate on that sense of like trying to like take a moment to like talk to people.
Yeah I talk to people and it's funny, the stories, the conversations you have with strangers on the subway, you know, it's like, and there was always that thing like, don't talk to strangers, you know, don't talk to that person. And I hate that feeling when people look at you and they're like, oh, I don't know you. I don't want to talk to you. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to pretend I'm on my phone. And, you know, when you travel a lot, you need to talk to people.
Yeah.
You know, you need to find your way. You need to ask people mm-hmm. directions. And having that courage to talk to people that you don't know. You know, and that's the same thing with being on stage or being in the restaurant. I mean, my kitchen's an open kitchen. And I really developed a lot of that talking to people because I was shy. I didn't like talking to people and I didn't like talking about myself. And, you know, food was a way for me to do that, was I can always talk about my food. I could always explain the dishes. It was very honest for me. It's very something I can really get behind. I can talk about food more than I can talk about myself. But so when having an open kitchen, you know, people sit and they want to ask you questions and they want to talk to you and they want to know your story. And then you kind of get into these conversations. And I've met so many people doing that in my store and out of my store. Just I met so many people just by saying hi, or just by asking them a question, or just by following or responding to a story, you know, even if you're even on Instagram, you know, just starting a dialogue. And you meet people and you never know who you're going to meet. You never know what's going to come out of it. I mean, I've had a lot of good things come out of these random encounters. So I double down on them and just keep doing more, you know. And I think the podcast idea is something that I've always wanted to do for myself. And when I saw you doing it, I thought that was a great idea to kind of take what you have and make something more of it.
Right.
And I think it really is the right thing to do. So
thank you.
So kudos to you for that.
Okay, but we haven't answered the question.
Oh, wait.
So my question to you is, like, yeah, basically what keeps you up at night? Like, what are you, yeah, talk to me.
So, again, it goes along with my confession for you. But what keeps me up is that, you know, my family comes from construction. You know, my grandfather, my father, they did construction. And I didn't go into that field. So I always wanted to be successful in my own career. And it always worried me that I didn't want to be a failure or look bad in front of my dad and have him say, you know, oh, what are you doing that for? You know, you're going to be a chef and you're going to cook for who, and you're going to work all these hours and slave away, and why, you know? Not that construction's any easier, but it was what he knew, you know, and it was a big deal, you know. An Italian family, you know, not kind of working with the family is a big deal. So I was always really trying really hard to succeed because I wanted him to be proud and be able to come into my place and see what I built and be impressed. So I always was trying to impress him. So that's what kept me up at night, is like, was he proud, you know, and did he appreciate what I did?
Yeah, I mean, I could kind of relate as well, because, I mean, the field I'm in is like, didn't even exist a few years ago. So my mom understands it to a certain extent, but I always feel like, she's probably like, I don't know what you're doing.
What are you doing playing on your phone?
What are you doing with your life right now? So, yeah, I mean, because I quit my, like, study, like, corporate job to go in this route. And, of course, it's scary. Yeah. And I always wondered, too, like, I hope she's proud of me in a way for, like, just going after what I want, you know, instead of, like, conforming to society's, like, 9-to-5, like, job. Because at the end of the day, not everybody's made for that.
Right. And a lot of parents, what they really are is they're scared for you. Mm-hmm. So they push you in this direction just because of their own fear. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the, you know, the world, like my dad had a flip phone and didn't know how to send an email. You know, he didn't understand anything. And so to him, it just seems so foreign and so impossible. So, you know, it's interesting to kind of bring them into your world and show them what you do and kind of impress them that way. So yeah, it is scary, and it can be rewarding if you can pull it off.
Yeah. And I think also just it's the time, and it's like generation.
Yeah.
Like, we're just at a different point of our lives, just how quickly the world is moving with technology.
Yeah.
And, like,
I mean, from the last generation to now, I mean, it's night and day.
Right.
I mean, you know, my dad grew up in the 50s, and, you know, it's not, you wouldn't even recognize anything from there now. So it's hard to really connect, you know, with your parents that way. But I feel like you spend time as a kid kind of running away from your family, trying to escape who you are and what your parents want you to be. And then at a certain point, I mean, I'm 38 now, I'll be 39 this year. At a certain point, you come back to yourself. And you know, you go out into the world and you make your mistakes and you kind of find what you want. And then your story, your past kind of plays into that, and it becomes part of who you are, and you kind of accept it and incorporate it into what you're doing now, and then it becomes, you become whole again in a way. You know, you become yourself. And I think it's important to kind of make that journey, but come back. You know, you have to come back.
That was deep. I felt that.
It's true.
Yeah, no, I love it. I think it's true. I think life is about experimenting, exploring, and like self-discovery, and just,
right.
I mean, I spent last year just literally, it was like a me year. Like I did so much soul searching and just so much asking myself, like, who am I really?
Yeah.
Like, and who do I want to become? And like, do those two, I guess, like people, are they authentic to each other? And like, right. Are they one and the same, you know?
Right. Well, I think you spend your high school and college years as your parents' child. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of grow out of that. And then I think when you become like 23, 24, 25, you kind of have this realization.
You have a midlife crisis. That's exactly. I mean, quarterly life crisis.
Where you go, like, is every, because, you know, high school and college is push, 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 get grades, study, work, do this. And then I think you kind of get to this point where you're like not in college anymore, and you go, wait a minute, you know, is this the direction I really want to go in? Mm-hmm. You know, the train has been going so fast.
Right.
And then you stop and you're like, well, where am I? Do I want to keep going on this path? And I see, you know, a lot of my staff is around that age, and that's what they're going through. They're going through this, you know, do I want to be here forever? You know, do I want to be here right now? Is this what I want to do with my life? And as a boss, it makes me want to make the job more interesting, give them new challenges, try new things, and just have people express themselves, you know, and kind of give them an opportunity to put their personality into the store. And I think we have a tight family because of that. We have a good group of people. And if you're not cool, you don't stay there very long. And the people that are cool stay there. I mean, some of my employees have been there for years, since day one. And without them, I couldn't do it every day, without their support and their help. But also, you know, I have to be mindful of their experience and what they're going through. And being sensitive to that helps the store be a better place, because everybody's happy to be there. No one is like, oh, I don't want to do this job. I don't want to come here. And I want people to be happy to come here every day. You know, people come early to work and sit and hang out and talk to us. And I want that atmosphere. And it's to see that be created, and to know that you created that, is very satisfying. To create a place for people that like to, you know, work there, customers that want to come. And the customers see it. You know, they come and people are like, hey, Bob, how's it going? How's your day? And, you know, customers love that.
Yeah.
And it makes us feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and it must make you feel amazing. I think when you make other people happy, it's crazy how it affects like your own happiness.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Well, we all want to be liked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you can make other people happy in a way, you feel like they like you.
Right.
And that makes you feel good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
So we can talk about the confession now.
Well, so the thing about the confession is that it's always on my mind lately, and it's something where, you know, when I thought about it, what's a confession? And it's this thing where it's hard to tell people because it's a very strange, you know, somewhat strange topic. And when I meet people, I'm like, should I tell them? Should I not? Well, I don't want them to think I'm weird if I tell them. Well, I don't want them to think I'm weird if I don't tell them. And it's a struggle. So I thought about talking about it today because it is something that I think about. Because I don't know what to do when I talk to people lately. So I talked about my father a little bit. So he was actually murdered 2 months ago. And, you know, there's an open investigation with his case and stuff, and we're hoping that there's a resolution. But it's been very traumatic for my family, for my mother. And it's just hard to kind of, when you meet people, or, you know, people see me at the store, or my customers, and they say, are you okay? How are you doing? And I'm like, do I say I'm doing fine? Or do I say, no, I'm doing terrible? You know, do I tell them the truth? And I don't, you know, I don't want to lie to them, but I don't want to
put up a front.
You don't want to put this on people. It's a tough thing to get into. You know, you don't want to just dump it on somebody. And in New York now, you know, it's probably the safest it's ever been. You know, but these things happen. You know, things happen to people. And it's a part of life, living in a big city, and tragedies can happen. So it's tough for me because I don't know whether to go into it or not. And it's probably better to not, you know, but also keeping it a secret is tough also, because you have to have a period of mourning, and you have to kind of go through the motions and kind of let it heal. And talking to people helps. I mean, I do, some people I talk to are going through similar situations or had a parent die suddenly, and talking to them helps and kind of, you know, getting their side of it and knowing that they're going through what you're going through helps. But yeah, but it's something where I'm at a place, maybe there's a lot of people and everybody's talking, and I just think about, like, is somebody else here going through this right now? And you would never know. You know, you would never know by talking to them or meeting them or hanging out with them. And that's what really put into perspective to me what I said before, is that, like, you don't know what someone's going through. And because I know when people look at me, they don't know that that's what I'm going through. So I think about it now when I talk to people, when I meet people, I'm like, you know, I don't know what's going on in this person's life. They could have had the worst day of their life yesterday. So let me just treat them a little bit better, you know, and give them more of a chance. And, you know, everybody's so impatient. You know, everybody's gets mad over the littlest things. If you're in their way, if you're walking too slow, and we all do it. You know, and Dumbo's very bustling, very busy. People are constantly on the go. There's a lot of entrepreneurs. There's a lot of businesses. There's so people are quick, and sometimes you're so quick that you don't realize that you're dealing with a human and a person that's dealing with stuff, and you need to just take a moment and just slow down a second, you know? Just think about things. Think about how you're affecting people. And are you really, you know, there's this graffiti going around now where it's like, says, are you helping? Are you hurting? Mm-hmm. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have.
And that's really it.
Well, I just want to take a moment to first thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, you didn't have to. You voluntarily did so. And it really did, like, just, like, hit me. Like, I was like, oh, my God. So I really apologize for what you're going through. But I do think it's, like, super courageous to kind of, like, let that guard down. And I can relate in the sense that, I mean, I mentioned this several times in my podcast, but, like, I have been one of those people who have just been so easily irritated. And I feel like a year ago, I was, like, full of, like, anger. I don't know where it came from, but just so much built up, like, anxiety and just, I don't know. I was just, like, not a good place. And I feel like when I'm always on the go. Like, I walk all the time. I don't really take subways. I try to walk as much as I can. And yeah, like, if somebody's on my way, or, like, if I meet somebody who's, like, does, like, a service job, and they're, like, I don't know, like, going too slow, or, like, whatever, like, not what I want.
Right.
I would just, like, be like, oh, my God, they're so annoying, like, whatever. And then last year, I told you, like, I worked on myself, and I did a lot of, like, self-reflection and, like, meditation, and just trying to tune in again with, like, who I am really and how I want to show up in the world. And my mentality has just, like, shifted, like, completely 180. And now I'm so much more calm. I'm so much more understanding. And then I can see the other side. Like, when I'm in the streets and I see other people act how I used to act, I'm like, right. Oh, my God, that's it's not attractive.
Right, right.
And so, like, now, like, my whole, like, mantra going into, like, every single day waking up is, like, you are the energy that you want to attract. You know what I mean? Like, what you put out there is what you're going to get back. And, like, you know, you've been, like, everybody's been told at a young age, like, treat others the way you want to be treated. And it's such, like, a...
It's become a cliche.
It's just like, you don't even know
what it means anymore.
And it's like, no, but actually...
But actually...
The way you're acting, would you want that?
Right.
Like, no, right? So then you need to kind of, like, check yourself.
Exactly.
And I find myself... And, of course, we're all human, so I get it. Like, we react really instantly. And, like, every now and then I find myself being like, ooh, I got to take a step back.
Right.
So I know, and it sucks. And I think, like, an advice for everybody listening is, like, to really do take just that one, like, second, you know?
Just an extra second or two.
Just breathe. Like,
right.
Just breathe and just be like, okay.
You know, we're all trying to make money. We're all trying to do our lives. We're all trying to go to our appointments and take care of our families, you know, but you have to take that moment to just think about that, you know, the world's going on pretty fast. You know, it's moving around you pretty fast. So you got to stop and enjoy it for a second, you know. And I realized that, you know, like the years go by quickly. And, you know, I thought I would have so much time with my dad. You know, I always wanted to do a podcast with him because he had so many stories, you know, tons of stories. And I never did. I always thought I'd have more time. And I think that's part of this whole story is that you just don't have a lot of time. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, it was Thanksgiving. You know, I said, you know, we said, okay, I'll see you on Thanksgiving. It was like a Tuesday. And that was it. I never saw him again. So I planned all these things I wanted to talk to him about on Thanksgiving, and I didn't get a chance to. And that's that thing where you really want to take the moments you have, and it's really reminded me to make each moment count because you may not get it back. And it seems very like we always plan, you know, New Yorkers are planners. We plan next week, we plan next month, we plan a trip, we plan all these things, and you're planning, but like it's not guaranteed that you're going to make all this stuff. It's not guaranteed that the person you're meeting is going to be there. And you really need to appreciate what you have and that time that you have and each moment because it also seems cliche, but it's not because it's true. It can be gone like that, you know, so quickly, and you can never get it back. And you can be, you know, filled with this regret or this, you know, sadness that you may have lost out on something. And it's reminded me that I don't want to feel like that. I don't want to feel any regret or sadness or any kind of loss. I don't want to feel that I didn't do something I should have done. And you know, when people come to me, they say, you know, when they hear about what happened, they go, is there anything we can do for you? Is there anything I can get you? You know, everybody always says that. And it's like, you know, no, obviously, there's nothing you can really do for me. You know, there's nothing that you could say or do. So what I tell people now is I'm like, look, I know what you can do for me. You know, whatever you're putting off, whatever you're not doing that you should be doing, whatever you're procrastinating on, you know, whether it's a vacation, whether it's a job that you want to get, or whether it's, you know, anything that you've been wanting to do, just do it. You know, like go and do those things that you've been waiting to do, those things that you've wanted to do, those things that you've been putting off. Like go and do them because I don't want you to feel like you missed out or that you didn't do something that you could have done. And that's really, you know, what you can do for me. It would make me happy if, you know, if you were happy and if you just didn't waste time, you know, because we don't have tomorrow really, you know, solidified. It's not there. It's there. It's an idea, you know, but you only really have today. So you really got to make the most of it. And when I see people not doing that, I feel sad. You know, I feel sad for them. Because they're kind of stuck in this helplessness, and you know you're not helpless. You just gotta try. You know, you just gotta start. So.
No, that's so powerful. I think, I'm not saying it's an issue, but I think a lot of people hear about that. I mean, even if you see movies or like,
yeah,
somebody has lost somebody, they're always like, you know, tomorrow is not guaranteed. Like, whatever you want to do, do it now. Like, don't hold back. But I think, like, until you physically go through that, then you actually, like, wake up and you're like, holy moly. Like,
exactly.
Wait, that's so true. Because I've seen, I mean, my first loss was my grandpa last year. And he was, like, my first, you know, family member that I've lost. And that was, like, a huge wake up. I never dealt with death. So it was weird. I was like, oh, my God. But the people who have dealt with it before, like, I hear about it and I'm like, you know, I don't even know how to, like, I'm sorry that you're going through that, and thank you kind of for showing me, you know, giving me advice, but, like, you don't really take it because you just go back to your normal routine.
Yeah, yeah, it's a tough thing.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, unless it's happening to you, it's just not real. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's something in a movie or something that happens, and...
I mean, even, like, in the news, like, you know, you hear stuff like, oh, this person got killed, this person...
And now, like, when I see it in the news, I'm like, oh, wow.
Right.
Like, I think about that family a little bit different, you know, just a little bit different, because it's like, oh, I know what they're going through. And that's that thing about putting yourself in other people's shoes, is like, you just don't know until it happens to you. And then, you know, like, all of a sudden you just know. And it's very different because it doesn't really mean anything. You know, I always thought about that when I was a kid. You know, people tell you all these things, these cliches, and they don't mean anything. You know, they go in your ear and out the other. And you're like, yeah, okay, whatever. I'm 15. Well, I have all my whole life, you know. But you just don't know, and you really have to kind of. And it's not that you have to hold every second so precious. It's not that either. But you just think. You know, am I doing what I want to do? You know, am I happy with what I'm doing? Should I be doing something else? You know, is this really worth my time? And I think it allows you to really clean up your life. You know, you get rid of the dead weight. You get rid of the people you don't need. You get rid of the projects that aren't making you any money, or that you don't want, you know, the jobs you don't want to go to. It's like, why live like that? And it kind of cleans up your life to say, whatever I have, whatever I'm doing, it's what I want to do. It's who I want to do it with. It makes me happy. It's making other people happy. And you can kind of really focus on that. And it becomes... like a lifestyle where you don't carry around this dead weight, because it's just not worth it.
I really don't even know how to follow up with that, because that was just so, like, honestly, it was so powerful. I feel like if people listening don't get the chills and don't feel like some type of, like, drive, or like they're not writing this down in their notes, like, I don't know what to say, because those are words that I also need to remind myself every now and then. I think
we all do.
Yeah. I mean, it's not something that you can just wake up and, like, live 100% in that way. Like, we're humans. Life gets in the way. We have a lot of external factors. But it's just being, you know, strong enough and just reminding yourself that, like, life is so much more than, like, sorry, go ahead.
No. I agree with you. It's that you have a lot of strength to yourself. You kind of need to realize your own strength. You know, that's the thing, is that people kind of they feel like life is stronger than they are. Like, life is pulling me in all these directions. Oh, I have all this stuff going on. But you don't really, you know, like, you're in control of your life. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. But people feel like they have to do these things, you know. Oh, my friend asked me to go do this. I have to go do it, you know. It's like, if you don't want to, don't, you know. So I think you really need to take back your life and do what you want to do. And so this has taught me that, you know. And also, life doesn't stop. And just because my father passed away, my life didn't stop. You know, I still had to go to work the next day. I still had to do all these things and still grieve and still carry that sadness. But life goes on. So you learn to balance it. You know, like, it's not that I've taken off of work and I'm just sitting at home, or I've.
But I do think, like, if that's what you need, like, for people listening, then do it.
And you should, that, you know, like, yeah, as long as you need, you should. You should. And I think what you'll learn is how to balance it, where you're still going on with your life. You know, my store is busier than it's ever been. My life is busier than it's ever been. But I feel more efficient, you know, and more appreciative. So I think if you learn that balance where you're still going full speed ahead with your life, but you're still appreciating it as you go along, then you really can reach your potential.
Well said. We're basically wrapping this up soon, but I just want to take a moment to just acknowledge you, what you've been through, honoring your story, and just appreciating you taking time out of your day to come and record this and inspire people, because as you mentioned, time is something that we never will get back.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have been doing something else with this 1 hour, but instead you chose to talk about your story, to share your story. And
I think
that's so amazing. And I really, really, really do just, I'm so grateful for that. And I think it took a lot of courage, and I'm hoping, or I know for a fact that like everybody's listening to this got something out of it. And I know that's basically what you wanted to just kind of like.
Yeah. It's something I've wanted to tell people, because like I said, I don't know how to explain it to people when I meet them. And, you know, you can't just put that out there and just leave it. It becomes awkward.
Right.
And then so sometimes I just don't say anything. But then people look at me and they can kind of see that maybe something's wrong. And then it becomes, well, what's wrong with him? You know?
I will say like I said, everybody has a story and a struggle or whatever
right.
the case is. For me, what I've learned personally is just like, people are going to be like, she's preaching again, but just trusting the universe and thinking about like timing. Like, I think it'll all come to you. Like,
mm-hmm.
there are moments when I felt like, there's stuff that I'm still hiding, you know, like secrets or whatever the case
right.
is. And I know eventually one day, whenever that time is, like, I'll be able to share it. But it's like, you'll know when
yeah.
it's time. And even when you meet people, you'll know if you should tell them.
Right.
Like, it's weird, but it's about energy.
Right.
You know, like, you'll feel it.
Yeah, 100%. You're climbing this ladder. And at different points on the ladder, you're ready to talk about different things. You may not be ready for it today.
Right.
But every step you go on the ladder, you feel a different, and you feel you want to say something different.
Exactly.
And then you keep going. And everybody, that's the thing, is like, you have to remember, everybody's on a different ladder than you are. They're not in the same place that you are. And you know, sometimes you're on the train and you look at people and you're kind of putting your story into their
yes.
life. Mm-hmm. You're kind of like putting, oh, this guy's over here with his whatever doing this.
Yep.
And this girl's over there doing that. And why is this person eating on the train? And you're putting
judgment.
This judgment.
Yeah.
And you're putting this story onto people. Mm-hmm. And then you have to really, you know, what I would like people to do is be like, is that what's really going on?
Exactly.
Or are you putting
right.
it there? You know, so maybe you should kind of really get in touch with what's going on around you.
I always say, at least for me, like, be observant,
yeah.
but don't be judgmental.
Right, right.
So you can say, like, okay,
yeah.
so-and-so, whatever.
Yeah.
That's just observation.
But that's what's going on. That's what
yeah,
it
that's
is.
What's going on.
Right.
But don't make a judgment or assumption or
yeah.
whatever, because you just don't know.
Yeah, and you psych yourself out of things, because
mm-hmm.
you put this weight on something, or this judgment, or this position on something, and you don't even know. And that's the thing, especially now in today's age, you know, there's so much disagreement over everything. And everybody's into their little tribes, and it's like you don't even know how someone feels. You can't just put them in a box because it's easy for you. So I think really just, you know, trying to kind of, that's a big thing in New York, is I always love that Humans of New York. And that was
that's
really,
what inspired me to do this.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, that's really what it is like, that was such a great thing. And people really, it resonated with so many people, because everybody has a story, and you can kind of really see it. And if you're open to it, and I think you'll get something out of it by kind of seeing the world through this human experience of all these other people. You know, and there's 8 million people here. There's so many stories, you know, and everybody has a different one, and you can definitely learn something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, first of all, you need to invite me to your shop.
Sure, anytime.
Do you have any, like, vegetarian
I do.
Okay.
I do. Because
I don't eat
I have
meat.
A few vegetarian options.
Okay, great. What is the address?
So it's 151 Front Street.
Okay.
And 147 Front Street in Dumbo. One is the Vietnamese Banh Mi shop, where we do a chicken, a pork,
right.
and a tofu. And then at the Italian one, we do porchetta and roast turkey and short ribs and stuff like that. And a lot of vegetarian options.
Good. You have to cater to all.
Everybody.
Everybody, exactly. Everybody. So what are you currently working on? Do you have any like secret projects or just like...
Working on a big project in Dumbo for Rastra. I really kind of tried to seize 2019.
Yeah, I mean,
and really go for it. And so a big restaurant project coming up. Also, just really trying to take on a lot of things, do a lot of things, travel more. Like I said, all those things that I wanted to do, that I was putting off, you know, I'm really doing them this year. So it's kind of, you know, this tragedy has kind of inspired me in a way to really do the things that I want to do. And it's sad that, you know, my father may not be here to see it, but I know that he would want me to do those things. So I'm really trying to not let anything go. I'm really taking this year strong.
Right. Yeah. And that's what everybody else should do. So if you're listening, you heard him.
It's
if
there's January. Something, just, you have the whole year.
It's launching in like February. But yes, if you've been holding off on something or like scared to do something or whatever the case is, even honestly, it's not even about doing stuff. It's about also expressing and like communicating. I think a lot of people hold back. So if like you haven't told somebody something that you want to tell them, whether it's good or bad, or like, yeah, if there's a relationship that you're in and it's not the best, or like people in your life that's not bringing you positive energy, like this is the year to like, right? Like just go after what you want, be authentic, be true to who you are, honor your feelings, and just like, that's
just
it.
Just do it.
Just like do it.
Yep.
Thank you so much for being on.
Thanks for
I hope you guys
me.
Enjoy this. And if you would like to touch base with Chef John, I'll leave all the information in the description, and stay tuned for the next episode.
Thanks.